Hello, I am Riley Wilson, and welcome to the Band of One podcast. This podcast is created to help anyone that wants to be a more successful solo performer or become a solo performer and avoid a lot of the pratfalls and mistakes myself and some of my contemporaries have made. I have over 50 years of live performance experience, and will also include tips from other top pros worldwide who've done the same thing in their regions. My desire is to make this actionable as well as entertaining. If you like what we do, subscribe, and don't forget to share it. Let's get busy. Today I want to talk about booking gigs. In order to have a gig, you have to book a gig. This can be done in several ways. You can book the gig yourself by approaching a restaurant, a flea market, or a client in person, over the phone, or over the internet. You can create a web page to help you do so, and you could have a booking agent do it for you. We've already discussed how to approach a potential client about a gig in some of our earlier podcasts. So in this episode, I'm going to discuss booking agents. Booking agents are a fine way to book work. Here in Dallas, I book work with a few different booking agencies over the years. I do less work with agents now than I did years ago. Now, an important thing to remember as a solo performer is why someone will book you. Why will an agent book you? Booking agents are in business to earn money, and they make more money off of bands than they do solo performers. And for that reason, you may find it a harder sell getting substantial amount of work from a booking agent. Solo performers are usually in direct competition with DJs who carry more tunes, bigger speakers, and don't take breaks. Here in the Metroplex, you could get a DJ for $400 to $500 a night, and so to earn that as a solo performer out of the gate is really difficult. When I began performing for money in the early 1970s, booking agents got 10% of the gross of a booking. Now, many agents take 15 to 20% of the gross sale. So if you play for 4 hours for $300, the agent gets $60 of that. Your $75 per hour rate just dropped to $60 per hour, and you haven't even left for the gig. Understand what I'm saying is simple economics. I have two very good friends who are booking agents in this town that we'll probably do a podcast with at some point. We're all in business to make money, and we have to go with the type of acts and the type of work that will support what we do. For that reason, I wouldn't rely solely on a booking agent to get me work, unless I only worked occasionally and didn't depend on this for any regular type of income. Traditional booking agents simply don't get as many calls for solo entertainers as they do for DJs or larger groups. Because of this, it can be difficult to book a solo show in some parts of the nation or the world. Now, lest you think that I don't like booking agents, I am a big fan of online booking sites. Because they don't have a brick-and-mortar building and don't have to pay the costs of a typical booking agent like building or other agents, etc., they usually book a gig in the 10% range. I've used Gig Salad and Gigmasters, which is now called The Bash, for more than a decade with great results. I've also used Thumbtack for a few jobs. All three could be considered pay-to-play sites, since you have to pay either a membership fee or a portion of the lead cost in order to contact the client about an event. Pay-to-play is also a big factor in the voiceover business, which I've been doing for almost three decades. One of the good things about The Bash and Gig Salad is that people come to the site already looking for a solo performer. This automatically narrows down their search field, and they might be looking specifically for you and what you do. Both sites currently cost under $500 a year and provide different membership tiers for the money. I've been with both of them since 2010, and they account for more than 80% of my solo gig revenues. Thumbtack is different. You pay for leads on a per-lead or per-month advertising budget you preset when you joined. I booked a few gigs on Thumbtack, but discovered that most of the clientele I was attracting were interested in bottom-feeder and low-paying gigs. No knock on their platform, but I found I got better-paying jobs on The Bash or Gig Salad. I want to earn the most I can from each show, since the majority of my gigs are private or corporate events. I'm not currently doing three or four nights a week at a local restaurant or club. I didn't major in business in high school or college, and candidly, I wish I had. I had to learn about the difference between horizontal versus vertical integration many years ago, and I learned that from, of all people, Hartley Peavy.
Horizontal integration means that you use several different suppliers to create what it is that you do. For example, a USA-made automobile may have parts from China, Russia, Brazil, Mexico, San Salvador, and Czechoslovakia. One advantage to horizontal integration is you can get what you feel is the best of all worlds and the best of all parts and combine it into one product. However, horizontal integration can also lead to issues in the business world like supply chain disruptions, questionable quality control, and a whole host of other problems. Horizontal integration can be more expensive than making everything in-house unless inexpensive components are purchased and made elsewhere for cheaper labor. Vertical integration means you do everything yourself. Hartley Peavy found out early on that it was better for him if he made every part of the guitar amplifier, guitars, etc. He could address component issues as they arise and fix what was broken, which led to Peavy becoming an international success. Not bad for a little company based in Meridian, Mississippi. Lest you guitar and bass players get all snobby on me, let me point out that in the late 80s and 1990s, the Peavy Bandit was the world's biggest selling guitar amplifier. I've used vertical integration in my own music business ever since I began. From a standpoint of performing, this simply meant that I could not only play the guitar, but I could sing too. I was healthy enough to carry my own equipment, knowledgeable enough to be able to do restringing and minor equipment repairs along the ways, and a host of other things that I had to learn in the process. With that attitude, I just decided to do everything myself. Many times it was much cheaper to do, and I always learned something in the process. This is how I taught myself to record digital audio at home, which also paid off handsomely with my voiceover business. In my voiceover biz, I've always been my own engineer, except for a handful of outside sessions that I've done when a client wanted me to voice something at an independent studio here in Dallas or Fort Worth. An excellent way to keep everything vertically integrated is to create your own website. This allows you to control all of the content and retain 100% of the profits for your performance. It costs very little and allows you to grab a client through information about you and your music. You can include pictures, embed video and/or audio samples, and essentially pre-sell yourself without ever having to talk with the client directly. If you want assistance, there are many online companies that will help you create your own web page, like GoDaddy, Webspace, Wix, etc. If you're computer savvy, you could do this yourself with a program called WordPress, which is incredibly popular and accounts for many of the online business websites. I did this for a while, and there certainly is a learning curve for many of us in putting together an exciting web page using WordPress. Many folks I know simply hire someone to build them a site with WordPress and then show them little ways to make minor tweaks. You can locate experienced web designers on places like Craigslist.org as well as many sources online like Fiverr. One of the reasons that I morphed into the solo act exclusively from a duo, trio, or band is that I was able to keep more of the final payment myself. Since 1984, I have usually been the only exclusively professional musician in any act I worked with, and net proceeds, not the gross, were critical to me. My wife and I raised 4 children, and she only worked part-time once our youngest son was already in elementary school. I taught guitar full-time, played every gig I could get my hands on, wrote for magazines and did voiceovers in order to sustain us as a family. My friend and mentor, the late Pat Hicks from Musicians Institute, told me before I ever enrolled that diversification was the key to success in the music business. I learned a ton of things in my year at MI, but that was probably as important as anything I was taught in the classroom. Each of you listening will have a different experience in how, where, and why you book work as a solo performer. If you choose to get a pay-to-play membership, I recommend doing so once you've been working for a while. Have at least 3 or 4 videos on YouTube, business cards, and if not a dedicated webpage, at least a dedicated Facebook or Instagram account where people can find out more about you and what you do. Have business cards to hand out and give them to anyone and everyone you think might be interested in hiring you. This way, you already have some experience in playing shows and can support it with audio, video, and more. You can also speak with booking agents in your town as well. Some of them may be delighted to find out about you and about what you do. How about signing with an agent? I worked in a five-piece band that played hotels back in the early 1980s, and we were exclusive with one agent. He booked us over 300 nights a year in hotels for the 2 years I worked with this band and did a terrific job keeping us busy. I've been doing solo work since 1994 and have yet to be offered an exclusive contract with any one agent. It's not likely that someone is going to hear what you do and ask to represent you exclusively. The only way I could envision this is perhaps like a cruise ship gig, and that's a completely different animal altogether. If possible, I recommend meeting with an agent in person when they show an interest in you. It's not absolutely necessary, but it helps them get a feel for you and you for them. When they approach you with gigs, it's a good idea to take one or two early on, even if they're priced lower than you might normally want to play. This demonstrates good faith, and you can always let the agent know in the future that you need X amount for an event like this. They will usually issue a contract and request you sign and date the paperwork. This will give you a physical piece of paper in case something goes wrong with the client at the event. I also find it intriguing to look at the wording in different contracts from different agents. I've learned much about how to construct my own contracts from booking work with other entertainment agencies. One easy way to get more work from an agent is to respond quickly when they ask about an event. I've won rapid responder awards from the Bash, which has helped my overall ratings and bookings go up. Prompt replies for any agent-created lead help you to book more work. But what if you have a full-time job and can't get away easily to make a phone call? Both the Bash and Gig Salad allow you to have templates to do a quick response to the client that wants to know more about hiring you. Hopefully, you have the flexibility to respond with at least a short text message. In some parts of the country, it's hard to even talk to someone unless you've sent them a text message first. With the online booking sites, I will send them more information with links to pictures, video, etc., and then follow up with an email with more specific information. I'll often text them afterwards and ask for more information. Interested clients are usually surprised how fast I get back with them. This demonstrates I am a professional and they can expect to be treated fairly. With an in-town agent, I will get back to them as soon as I am able. All I really need to know from them is what the date and time is, the client's budget, and what they are looking for. Many times, an agent has already pre-sold me for an event and just wants to make sure that I am available and that the client has budget to hire me. We spoke about protocol in a recent episode. I think it's excellent business practice to be honest in all your dealings. This means when someone contacts you on a pay-to-play provider, I suggest you book the job through that site. One agent here in Dallas has a 2-year non-compete clause for any work that he books for any of his vendors. This means that anyone that meets me on that gig needs to be referred to him in order to book the final event, and that's going out 24 months from the time I perform. They provide company business cards for talent to hand out for potential future engagements at that job. This is fair, since he is the one that discovered the opportunity in the first place. Some of my repeat clients prefer to go through the Bash or Gig Salad, even though they would be welcome to book me direct, simply because it's easier for them to do so. Since I don't accept credit cards, it's easier to clients to simply book me in that way. Agents certainly aren't the only way to book work. If you have a regular piano gig or another place that you perform regularly and that's all the outlet you need, you might not even need an agent. If you have sales skills, you might be able to do much of this without having to resort to agents. I'm also aware that some of you listening to this have actually been or currently are working as booking agents. In this case, you know way more about this than I do. Perhaps you have a spouse or significant other who can solicit work for you. In that case, all you have to do is focus on your show. If you don't, it's on your shoulders. If it is to be, it's up to me. One wonderful thing that booking agents do is they allow you to have a larger pool of potential clients to draw from. Depending on how anxious you are to work and how often you want to work, they could be a big part of your success. Aside from my few years working at a restaurant, booking agents have been and continue to be indispensable for my solo performing business. All right, time for that actionable item. Your job is to check out an online booking agent or approach a local agent about your solo show. And ask yourself, am I ready to go ahead and get an online pay-to-play membership? Or you might not need any of this, But the idea is to think about letting other people that book acts know about what you do and continue to hone this so that this can be another source of revenue for you. All right, that's enough for today. You've been listening to the Band of One podcast. I'm Riley Wilson, and thank you for joining us. If you have ideas for upcoming episodes, I'd love to hear from you. Get in touch at your convenience. You can also contact me directly through my webpage at guitarmadesimpler.com. See you next time.